All right, Taming the Bully. I was expecting maybe two or three people in this class, considering all the competition of good, interesting topics to go to this session. And just the fact that you're here makes me think that you probably have a story to tell. And so I will be very interested in hearing those stories. And I have a story or two, and some of them are fairly current, that I would just solicit your help on. So let's help each other. I'm glad for so many of you with experience in here. I have a handout here. If you want to, you might just pass it. I found a definition on bullying. It says the deliberate use of power by a person in order to hurt or upset others. Even the dictionary says bullies want a reaction. And someone else observed that a bully is often someone who's been hurt, and in turn they're hurting other people. The title of our topic, Taming the Bully, is an interesting title, but I think you and I agree that we're not interested in taming it. We're interested in getting this bully to follow the Bible principle of putting others in front of themselves. My wife volunteers at the local hospital. And this bullying thing is a popular subject in public places these days. And so in the place where they have all their folders and files, there's one on what to do with bullying. And so she brought one home for me so I could read it in preparation for this topic. But it was so interesting there. There was almost nothing that I could bring to you today as something helpful in dealing with bullies, because all they were trying to do is tame them. A tame bully is still a bully. There's nothing in here that has changed. And so I want to remember that. And the other thing that I want to remember, because I know my tendency, is that the best way to get a bully to the place of change isn't to bully back. That's maybe for some of you with different personalities, that's not as much, but I find that a temptation. Just bully right back. And I'm a little bigger. And so it can give you kind of the illusion that this is working. I read an illustration in a book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, and he tells it this way. He said, let's imagine you tell the 6-year-old, go take out the trash. And he doesn't do it right away. You raise your voice a little bit. Hey, I said, go take out the trash. And then he starts going that way, but he gets sidetracked. And then the third time, you really raise your voice and you say it aloud. And you threaten him. And then he goes and takes out the trash. And you think it's work. That's not obedience, because there's going to come a time when you can't scare him into doing the right thing. And so that's just a reminder to us, let's not bully back or try to hurt him back because he hurt others. We want to deal with it with the authority that God gave us in a humble, firm, loving way. Look here on your handouts. There are a lot of ways that bullying shows up. Number one, notice I wrote mocking and insulting and threatening. These kind of all come under what? Say it again.
Verbal.
Okay, that's the right idea. Verbal. There's that verbal bullying, and I suspect this might be one of the main ways of bullying that you'll encounter. I want you to be thinking about situations that you've encountered, how you handled them. here's one example of bullying. In our class, we allow the students to choose what games we're going to play at certain recesses. Just so we don't always play what Mr. Miller wants to play, and we don't always want to play what the most outspoken one wants to play. But we got to the point last year when there was a certain amount of, well, I might, let's just play Dare Base again. You know, the bullying, maybe they didn't say a word, but that bully looked at that little guy and he knew he'd better be picking the right game. And so we had to deal with that. That's a form of bullying. Now, one thing that we did, okay, we explained why that was wrong. And then I said, we're not going to make a big deal about it. If I see you doing that, when it comes your turn to pick the game, you will forfeit that turn and the next person. And you know, we didn't see as much of it after that. That didn't happen very often.
May I say something?
Please.
The most genuine, original class I have ever had was the fourth graders. This year, this school year, but the school year before, there were third graders that I first met in their life. One of them was American, of origin from Belize. Very hot-blooded guy.
Okay.
Okay. The other one was half Dutch, half Gypsy. Very odd combination. Then you have pure American breed from Ohio, right?
Okay.
And here comes the genuine, you know, native Romanian. Nothing else but Romanian.
Ooh.
And that was the others that all must have the combination because they started to take sides. Mm-hmm. Now, so they play the role of a victim almost every week. So each week, one of them became the victim of the other three. And they take sides. And they took sides, and we got, me and my colleague, we got in the middle of it. So we couldn't handle to the point in which they started to fight. Because of the bullying, because the one who was bullied became aggressive after a while. You know, he couldn't bear it anymore. So what it took us to do, it was a whole school year, I'm telling you, a whole school year. And just when they became fourth graders, the situation somehow changed, improved. But the whole school year, we started to have talks with them separately almost every week, and with their parents. So it was just when I realized this, I'm kind of encouraging to not be disappointed about any situation. When they grow up, you know, and you train them, then they will change a little bit. So it was a tremendous difference between the third grade and the fourth grade. They grew up a little bit, and then it was better what we explained to them, and we told them, you are to become men. If you will be like this, it will be very, very bad for you. And then they started to understand it better in the fourth grade. So they got very well along with the fourth grade, and they were friends. The curious thing was, though, that when they did something very bad together, no one of them was the bullied one. All of them, they were allies in lying to the teachers. So all of them. When it came to it, just two of them were in big trouble doing that bad thing, you know. But the other ones, they took sides with them, you know. And we simply couldn't get the truth from them. Although we knew the truth. What happened? So sometimes it takes a huge amount of force to break some core or nucleus like this if it's too much. So it was a challenge for us. Maybe I'm teaching now since almost 15 years. Maybe the greatest challenge in my whole experience as a teacher.
That's interesting. I noticed one thing though. He said they talked to the boys almost every week, didn't you say?
Yeah.
And then also got the parents involved.
Yeah, we got to the point, Neil was talking about this in the morning. We got to the point in which the boredom was not enough. We took the parents, the parents put pressure on them even more so. In the end, you know, after months of struggling.
Yes.
That reminds me of something Danny and I were talking about before class, and that is get it at the root before this thing blossoms up. Don't hesitate to get help from parents. If it's my son, I want to know. All right, let's go to number two here. Pushing, stealing, hiding others' things, vandalizing. What general heading does that come under? Well, yeah, it's more physical. I was talking about this when we were in Kansas last week. My brother said there was someone who, when he came to school with a new pencil, his friend would take that new pencil and break it and give him both pieces back. That's an example of just physical bullying. Now, the one you might be thinking of, and I didn't know for sure how to write it here beside physical, but I'm talking about the 5th, 6th, 7th grade boy in Derby's. You know where we're going with this. He is out to win. And if this little guy from the lower grade class gets in his way, the best case scenario is he's going to say, oops. that's something that we want to deal with. We might talk about this more later, but let me just insert here. I'd like to say maybe that person isn't as much of a bully as he just needs to be taught to consider those others. In order to be a real true bully, you've got to have the attitude to go with it. This person might just be careless. And I'm not saying it doesn't need to be dealt with. It does. But that's something to consider, especially when you have one of those talks with him. When you go to the parents, unless there's the attitude that goes with it, don't say he's bullying. You just say he's too rough with the little ones. How about number three here? They leave you out. Like they're whispering on purpose, making this person feel bad, making you look silly. I'm talking about the kind who will pull the chair out just when you're ready to sit down. Getting you in trouble, spreading rumors, or purposely ignoring, giving certain people, including the teacher, the silent treatment. What kind of... It's not verbal, really. It's not physical. What kind of...
Emotional.
That'd be a good way to say it. Emotional bullying. Here. Now, I'd be interested in hearing some experiences that you've had.
This is often met between among girls. Getting you in trouble, spreading rumors. And the girls do not become aggressive, at least in behavior. But they can be very aggressive with words. And the worst part of it is that you don't find the words and what they say just weeks after. And then we got them into trouble in school. We had sports together. They didn't agree to be the same team for me. And just after weeks, we found out from parents or from other sources that they were actually gossiping one at each other. So, I would think that emotionally goes more with women and girls in general.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. Don't get emotional.
It's kind of stupid, I don't know if this is what you're thinking of, but... And it sounds really stupid, but
really big deal to me when I was little. We would go. We spent my grandparents lived in Brookfield, Missouri, and we went there often to church there. And I hated that church with an unbelievable passion as a young child because my name is Aaron Durstein, and there's a group of older boys there that would call me Aaron Holstein. And this is the stupidest thing in the world. But it was humiliation beyond. I don't know why, but it was a huge deal to me. And I still just remember the feeling of almost. I've got a lot worse bullying happen to me, but this is, I don't know, it's a feeling that I think, even when I think of that church at 28 years old, that it still is very real. And that's stupid, but it's reality.
But it's an example of what us teachers can watch for.
Yeah.
You should take off your white shirt and black pants and go.
Which is actually an interesting concept because you sometimes have bullying like that taking place, and the victim, like Danny said, can get violent and attack or hurt, and sometimes teachers that don't get all the facts will label that person as the bully. They sit down for the endless lectures, and they're actually not the ones being the bullies.
Someone else initiated it.
That's right. They're reacting, which is sometimes kind of...
Now, we as teachers, I, in my own experience, I realize that when you deal with children, you deal with different kinds of personalities. So a child that is strong in his personality, a boy I'm talking now about, if he's strong, he can handle for a whole year the bullying without being... apparently effective, you know. I mean, like taking from him negative attitudes towards the others. While if you have a child that is more sensitive, gets emotional easily, then as a teacher, I pay attention especially to these children. If they are bullied, I just take measures from the first attempt, because it just takes for them maybe 1 week to get into a very bad situation. They become retractile, and then it's even more difficult to deal with them, to take them out of that. So.
Yes, thank you. Pay attention to students who are more sensitive.
Mm-hmm. I dreaded going to a certain church also because of the way the boys treated me. I didn't really know them, but partly ostracized in some words that they said. I was feeling not well, and I went out in the car, and they threw a big chunk of rock or something and scared me, and
they're so real to you. They're absolutely real. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes things can happen in a school van, in a school bus, that the teacher doesn't have a clue what's going on.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. When I was in grade 9, on a public school bus, and every seat was occupied by two people, and everybody had to sit thirds except for three of the last six seats had only two people in. So my sister and I and the neighbor had the opportunity of going back and sitting on one of those six seats, three of which would be have three to a seat and three would not. And so these were the big boys that, and we wanted to make sure we didn't choose to sit with them again the next day. Mm-hmm. So we did about 2 inches on the seat. Combing my hair, and just mistreating. That was definitely a bullying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I had a different school bus route after that, and I was one of the first ones on, so that I could get back.
There, especially those of you who. You might attend the same church, that your students do, there can be things that happen at church that leak over into school and the other way around.
As I live with Romanians versus Americans, and maybe some of you will, you'll meet this kind of situation if you have a girl or a boy who's not of the same nationality like the majority. They got to the points in which, they didn't need much reason to fight, and they was constantly anyone to say, "Oh, you Americans, you know, the Romanians does that." And the Americans were in minority, that's true. But still, like being foreigners in a certain country, just out of the context, the instinct, the natural, the carnal nature, you know? The sin in
them.
Out of nowhere, the words came, "You Americans," and it was nothing more about it. But just like, and they felt bad, you know? Yeah. My young fellows, we have to deal with them pretty much, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Minorities could be another topic.
Minorities could be. One thing that notice a little warning I put here: the bully is not as likely to be your fifth grade boy as who's leveling first graders in Dare Base as it is to be your eighth grade girl who's quietly controlling. The fifth grade boy might just need, teaching on being more careful. And here's how we usually handle it. When I see him doing that carelessly, he just has to go sit on the sidelines. And usually it's not more than a minute or two. But it is oh so painful because the team he was desperately hoping to help win is now there without him, whose help he feels like they really need. And that, without making a huge issue of it, it was fairly effective. And so for people who just need to learn to be more careful, something like that can be effective. And if you do it consistently, like about anything we need to do in school, it helps. Ladies, sisters, I think you can keep an eye on the girls, and when they have issues, like teenage girls will, help them through it. Let's say you're teaching lower grades, you may need to talk to an upper grade girl. I'd like to see teachers work together well enough that that could happen. It's something that needs to be addressed. It's difficult for our churches to handle 40-year-old controlling women. And if we can make... if we can make so that those don't get past 8th grade, then it's just a lot better. Exactly. So let's help each other in identifying that. Bullying is kind of a nice term for it, but it's unscriptural. Read 1 Peter 3. It talks about how ladies should respond, and it's so whether it is a young man or a young lady who's using that kind of either verbal or emotional bullying to make others feel bad or left out or trying to get some rise or response out of them, let's just be very deliberate in dealing with that. We mentioned that a bully is often someone who's been hurt. I want to circle back to that a little bit. Please understand, that's no excuse to be a bully. The only reason I bring that up is because as we identify this problem, there might be a root back here that we should look at, something else that we need to deal with. And as we, someone was it you that pointed out, it might be that someone else actually started or contributed this problem.
Question: is it possible for a teacher to be a bully? Huh. Do we have to tame that bully?
Yes, absolutely is a good answer.
In what way can a teacher be a bully?
To have a level of control over your students, well, not that. To even if you're wrong, to force to be right, to always be right, even if you are in the wrong, and your students know that, and to hurt them emotionally to get your own way.
Even ridicule, sarcasm.
Mm-hmm. Sarcasm is a good.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:4. I will read if you allow me.
Yes, thank you.
Neither filthiness nor foolish talking.
Mm-hmm.
Foolish talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is, I think, out of too much zeal, or you're just going in the crowd. You have a joke that seems innocent, but it will hurt the child a lot. Mm-hmm. Especially, I've noticed this, especially if the child is a boy, and him as a boy is in front of other boys or the girls in the classroom. You do this, someone put it like this. The thing that men love the most is to be mocked at in the public. That was ironic.
Okay, ironic. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because uh-huh. Actually, this is what you as a man you hate, and the same with the children. Uh-huh. Probably this is the worst bullying.
Some people would identify any control of others as bullying, whether it's a teacher or a minister. You know, that is that term that they were bullied and the bishop was a bully, sort of thing. So I think you can also, I agree that a teacher can be a bully, but there can be some misconceptions there about the exercise of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Misuse of authority.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like when you cannot be above him or master his opinions, you just lower him in front of others.
Yeah, or just insisting on rules being followed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because we live in a very in a climate of independence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Anyone that doesn't affirm their lifestyle is being a bully.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I think we'd probably agree that the time that bullying shows up is usually either before or after school or during break time.
Yeah.
You aren't as apt to see this during class time. And so just be alert to things at break time. We've already talked about a few of those things. Choosing teams, there can be some kind of rude things said or done. Be careful about that. I like what Brother Howard said the other morning. Used to be when he was younger, he would go on the team that needed some help, and now he goes on the other team. I'm a little bit like that. But it's okay for one team to lose today. I sometimes say whoever's got green on, go over there today. And then if we need to move one or two back and forth, everyone that's an odd number name age, go over there today. And we sometimes keep teams for several days, and it's so easy. When I was in school, I think I told some of you the other day. I was born a preemie, and so I never quite did catch up with all the rest of you. But in school, it was worse yet. I was a full foot shorter than most of my classmates. So when it came time to choose teams, I was the last one. And they said some things. They called me Bug and Shrimp. Those were my nicknames. And it wasn't very pleasant. I'll just throw this in for what it's worth. There's an idea today that people like me should have never had to endure that choosing of the sides and being chosen last. The teacher should always somehow shield that from happening. Certain students don't do well under pressure with math flashcards, so you should always make so that they don't have to deal with that pressure of time. You know what? They're going to graduate from school one day. And if they haven't learned to take some of those things in stride, it's going to be a rough life. And so I don't think I'm too emotionally scarred for getting chosen last and being called names sometimes. But as a teacher, let's be aware, try to reduce some of that. Were you getting ready to say something, brother? Okay. So choosing some of the teams in advance might be okay sometimes. Have a schedule for choosing games. Like I said, that was our most common bullying scenario, and then we had to do some things about helping people remember not to bully others into choosing the game that they wanted. Number five, have you ever wondered why we line up for going in and out of the classroom and getting drinks and things like that? There are reasons of order, I'm sure. But I think part of it is just so the same person doesn't get his drink first every time. Because he gets... just order and consistency can help to eliminate some of the temptations that would come up otherwise. Teach forgiveness and unselfishness. Those are our Bible principles. It wouldn't be complete if we only talked about the bully and not talk about the victim at all today. Victims are popular today, you know that. But how does that person respond? I remember several years ago, the upper grade class was going out for recess just as the lower graders were coming in. And this little first grader came up to me. I guess she decided to bypass her teacher and bypass all the other chain of command and go straight to Mr. Miller. And she said, "Mr. Miller, he kicked me." And I said, "Really?" "Yeah. Yeah, for no reason. He kicked me." And so we were just walking past the door to the sanctuary there, and I said, "Really? Let's step in here and pray for him." And she got this confused look on her face like, "You must not understood. But Mr. Miller, he kicked me." You don't get it. But that girl that day had an opportunity to learn what to do if someone else bullies you. And we prayed for him. Because the Bible does say, pray for those which despitefully use you. And we talked about that. And just make that practical. Don't ever let that person who comes and fussing about what someone else did think that their job is completely finished now that they've told you.
The little ones, they can become so delighted about playing the victim sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I've been especially... I have to admit, teachers that there were female teachers, like, you know, VS is coming to our country.
Yeah.
And,
from America, probably.
They are teaching, and basically what we do not accept for us Romanians to teach them first grade and second grade, because they know that we know Romanians, so they just beg to keep them in Romanian, and we couldn't do it anymore, so... Then we basically made the wrong in our school. All the first grade and second graders, they will have an American teacher always, and they can respect for nothing because they will not know who made it. So anyway, the first time that they came, girls like maybe in their early 20s or even 20 years old, they were sometimes tricked into this trap of the little ones playing the victim.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it goes to a certain point, it's true. I mean, but then beyond that, it becomes a habit and you'll encourage actually a bad behavior from the first grader. So not mm-hmm. always the truth is
so
easy to find
so
out.
That's right. That's right. What else? One or two more experiences.
Sometimes
good.
You have to be careful with the person being bullied that they don't take everything that they do. Like, somebody might do something and not mean it. And they automatically think they're being bullied. Like, you have to watch that too.
Good point. If you have a little victim mentality to start with, that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with name calling?
If like, I'll just give an example. An American boy came, and the first word ever in Romania to get it very well was monkey. And he was called, you know, the Romanians called him, I was a monkey. And he started to say to all of them, I was a monkey. He didn't know a word in Romanian. It was his first week in Romania.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Then I was like just referring them on the soccer field. I just hear that one saying my mutsa, that one, all of them, like 10 of them saying my mutsa on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
What's happening? So actually, they thought that little fellow from America, the first nickname, you know, first. And I have to admit, I was kind of in an odd situation. I didn't know how to deal with it. And it happened for months in a row because they called names without us teachers to know. So I don't quite know what would be the solution. That's why I'm asking. If you met the situation, I don't know.
One thing that I think parent-teachers meetings are good for mm-hmm. is that it sometimes, if the parents there, maybe they aren't sure what you and the teacher are going to talk about for 5 minutes. And they bring up something like that's kind of a little thing, and they're almost ashamed to mention it. But it's something that you can do something about if you know about it. But if you don't know about it, there's nothing you can do about it. And so I just, as you as teachers, it's not really our job to say we need a parent-teachers meeting. But if as teachers, we're a little bit, I don't know, self-conscious about those meetings, and they're a little uncomfortable sometimes. Don't try to talk them out of it, is what I'm saying. They can be good things to help bring some of these things to light.
Yeah,
in Bumbleish it's a little different, but when I taught in this community, I very often had the dads, I mean, I would call the dads, hey, just saying, you know, it's not a big deal at all. Your child is doing wonderful, but he's doing this that he shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's like, oh, and, you know, they told me and I told them, and it really, really, you know, the child was pinched on both ends, you know. It kind of helped keep everything current.
When teachers and parents work together, there's a tremendous amount of blessing and strength in that. Appreciate that. Okay, thank you for your help today. I really appreciate all your insight and discussion.